Sexting, or sending texts and images with sexual references, is a product of our social media culture. And it's not just limited to adults. The Wired's Samuel Bryan looked into it and first asked people what they think about sexting.
If people want to sext, then more power to them.
It can have some bad effects on some people, I guess. I know a few people that have had bad consequences from doing it.
I think if you're into it, you can do it. I think it gets a bit weird if you're showing your friends while you're texting.
Like it or not, anyone with access to a phone can sext, and that includes kids who lack the legal right to consent. However, they can be charged with a criminal offence if they are caught. Youth Action, the New South Wales peak youth body, has made a submission to a parliamentary inquiry into the sexualisation of children, asking for a review of the laws that make it a crime for underage kids to sext. Katie Atchison is the CEO of Youth Action. She told me why Youth Action have taken this stance.
We're suggesting that New South Wales look at these laws and say, what is consensual activity? What is actually happening between the people who are involved in this? What are other diversion options that we could use to divert away from criminal activity and taking away from crime, but looking at how to make sure that young people are safe? And also the police guidelines in how they can enforce these laws in consensual sexting.
What are the current legal implications of teen sexting?
If you're under the age of 16 and you sext, you're committing a crime. Whereas for the rest of Australia, under federal law, if you're under 18 and you sext, you're also committing a crime. So we have a bit of a disagreement between state laws and federal laws, in addition to who exactly is getting punished.
So how serious can these criminal charges be?
It's in line with a distribution of child pornography. So obviously the worst case scenario would be 15 years in jail and the young person would be placed on the sex offenders list, which, you know, if you're 15 and you sent a picture of yourself to your partner and then you are criminalised, you could carry that criminal record with you for the rest of your life.
How would you determine what consensual sexting actually is?
If we saw sort of a 25-year-old sexting with a 12-year-old, we would think that that isn't necessarily age-appropriate, nor is it consensual in a pure way because there's a power imbalance. But if we see sort of two 14 or 14 and a 15-year-old in a relationship or having consensual transactions with each other where they're sending images, then we have to ask the question, is this a criminal activity or is this young people just expressing their sexual identity to each other?
Can a line be drawn between what is the product of healthy sexual development and expression and what's unhealthy?
Yeah, there can, and we do it all the time. We say certain things are okay. We draw those lines in our laws about what we can see on television and the public sort of space for media. It gets very blurry when we look at the general internet and the wider sort of cyberspace and how that works. And I think one of the challenges for any government or parents and communities is to look at where are we playing now? What is the new ball game that we're playing in, and making the way that we talk to young people appropriate to what's actually going on. So we can't talk anymore about just simple safe sex in a biological sense. We need to talk about, well, how you express yourself in today's world, and if you're using platforms like Snapchat or Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr or things like that, what does that actually mean, and what are the permanent ramifications for those decisions that you're making? So it's about starting the conversation and being more open and honest with young people about their sexual development and not ignoring the fact that they actually are developing their sexual identity. Because I think sometimes it's easier for us just to say, don't do it, but we know that that doesn't work.
And it seems like there needs to be more of a focus on, like you say, nuances in the law rather than just it being the cookie cutter approach. Because obviously within this age bracket, it's very hard to define on a broad scale what is appropriate and what's not.
Yeah, but we have those nuances already in the law when we look at other crimes that police and the legal system have to deal with. The point that we want to make is that healthy sexual development for young people is part of everyday life. We need to start talking to young people about what it's like to be a young person and what it's like to express your sexuality in today's day and age, and how we can do that in a way, or they can do that in a way that makes them feel safe, that they feel like that they can learn and make mistakes and sort of challenge their ideas and see themselves in a healthy space. Because when young people have negative images of sexuality and unhealthy images of sexuality, it makes it very difficult for them to sort of progress as an adult.
Katie Atchison, CEO of Youth Action. But regardless of what Youth Action say, public opinion on kids sexting remains divided.
I think teenagers are always going to do it. I don't really think it can be prevented, because when we're teenagers, you know, the hormones are raging. Yeah, it's just, it is what it is.
I don't think age is an issue. I think if you're mature enough to know what you're doing and who you're doing it with, and you're in that kind of situation with someone, it's fine. I think it's just, obviously some people are a bit stupid with it, but you get that with everything.
Do you think it's fair that younger teenagers are being criminally prosecuted for it?
No, I don't think that's fair, really. I think you should be able to do what you want.
Probably not on the offenders list, but should be given some sort of consequence that's kind of severe for it.
And that's the voice of the people, ending that report by The Wire's Samuel Bryan.